born to roam. I love to travel.
This is Solo Travel Talk. Your solo travel advisor is Astrid Clements.
Your solo travel advisor, Astrid Clements, loves collecting top destinations for the solo traveler, and she loves telling her Solo Travel Talk listeners all about them. Regular listeners know that Cartagena has leapt into the top 10 for Astrid, and she is just recently back from this South American destination. I'm producer Catherine O'Brien. On this episode of Solo Travel Talk, Astrid is going all in on all of her recommendations, her highlights for Cartagena, Colombia. But be sure to stick around to the end, because on top of all the amazing highlights that Astrid had, there was one particular low light. A scary one at that. But first, all the good stuff, all the highlights. Here's Astrid.
Okay, well, I can tell you, there's so many highlights, and I think that what I'm going to have to do, and when I thought about this question, I'm going to share really by topic, like by food, perfect, whatever, then just start going into all these things and why Cartagena is so wonderful. So in terms of accommodations, my highlight that way was in my hotel. I mean, I spot on picked a fabulous hotel.
Knack. You always get the good hotels.
Well, I'm so dogged about that because I consider that my home away from home. And I consider that my beachhead and my safe place. And when I have walked miles and miles and done all kinds of things during the day or whatever I've done, I like to come back to a place where I really like it. And that's so important to me, whether it's my hotel room or it's a very nice lounge that I feel comfortable in, or the food is good there, or I can sit outside or whatever. That is so important to me because that's a little how I live at home. I like to do those things. So I'm really vigilant and dogged and do lots of research before I pick my hotel. And before I talk a little bit more about the Charleston Santa Teresa where I stayed, I just want to mention there are a lot of really fabulous boutique hotels in Cartagena. I mean, 5-star and over the top. Some of them have as little as 15 rooms, like a Riad almost, but very upscale. So there are really only two big hotels in Cartagena. There's this one, the Charleston Santa Teresa, and then the Four Seasons. The other hotels are smaller and they're more boutique oriented. But if you stick with the four and especially the 5-star, oh my gosh, you're going to get a really nice experience because, you know, they do their interiors fabulous, and it's still got that old world service oriented mm-hmm. attitude, and they want you to like where you're staying. They want you to enjoy your time in Cartagena, and they communicate with you. And like at the Santa Teresa, the first day, once I was there for a couple hours, they all knew my name. And they almost knew what I was going to order every day. And they're very subtle and smooth about how they service you. Perfect. Really, really nice. So, my accommodations. The Charleston Santa Teresa, it was A across the line. I really could not find anything about this hotel that I thought that they should change. You walk in, it's a big grated, beautiful gate-like door. It's open air, and they never close the big brown doors behind it. It's kind of like a breezeway, and it opens up into this beautiful courtyard. The flower arrangements, you're just mesmerized by the flower arrangements right there in the lobby. And then, like I said, they don't just check you in at the check-in desk or the front desk. You sit down at a VIP desk. They tell you all about the hotel, the services, and this kind of thing, and make you real comfortable, as well as they give you a limonada de coconut, which, oh my God, this drink is limeade or lime juice, coconut milk or water, and then a little sugar, and it's put in a blender with ice. So it's like a smoothie. Once you taste this drink, you think, oh boy, this is paradise. I mean, it tastes so good. I had one or two every day. I can't think of anything that tastes any better than this because it's fresh lime, fresh coconut milk, a little raw sugar, I'm sure, blended up just right. Ooh, delicious. So you get this VIP check-in experience. The rooms are very nicely done, that has kind of a little bit of a colorful, playful Cartagena feel. Bed to die for. I mean, really, one of those kind of beds you sit in, you go, you lay back on six big down pillows and you just go, oh gosh. So this is what I'm talking about, a good hotel. It is important. If you go to a nice hotel and you go in your room, even if it's pretty nicely appointed, you sit on the bed and it's bang, your backbone sends a jar because the bed is like a board. Now, some people love real hard beds. I don't like it to be that hard. I can take some hardness, but board hard. But there are a lot of areas in the world that soft mattress is like a cheap mattress. Yeah. It's bad. But these super comfy places, the West Ends have some really good beds in their comfort or their wellness hotels or whatever. But this is one of those fabulous beds. Then in the bathroom, which when I made the reservation, I had to let go of, is they didn't have a bathtub in my room. But I thought, okay, Astrid, just let it slide because I love to take baths at night. But more and more of the hotels just don't even have baths. Well, let me tell you, the Rainbird shower head in my hotel room was bar none the best Rainbird I have ever had. In fact, I think it was one overhead, one on the chest area that I could put on my upper back. Oh, and just the right amount of water and the right amount of pressure, the whole thing. I can't describe it. Best Rainbird appliance in the world. Then this beautiful restaurant that I was beginning to tell you about, how wonderful the downstairs open courtyard is. It's completely open, but if it's raining, they have a canopy that they can put over it. There are cascading ivy-like, well, I'm sure it's not ivy, but some kind of green plant that comes down on all these arched floors, these balconies, etc. And then you have this wonderful outdoor area where people eat, as well as they eat in the alcoves on the other side of the arches. The restaurant itself, it's called Harry Sassoon. And Harry Sassoon is one of the top restaurants in Cartagena. So everything you eat there is fantastic. Breakfast comes with your room rate, a fabulous buffet, as well as you can order separately. And they have all kinds of different things. They make these like mini pancakes, but they're like mini corn pancakes. Oh. Oh, yeah. And they have all kinds of very exotic fruits. I didn't know what I was eating, but I was just doing it. And then coconut is the big thing. Limes and coconuts, it's in a lot of the things you eat. And I had an omelet made every day, but they had different things that you could put in the omelet that you don't always see. And great coffee. Oh, the coffee was fabulous. So it was a type of place where you don't just eat and then you leave after about 35, 40 minutes. You eat and you might even stay there hour and 45 minutes, 2 hours. And a lot of people stay longer. It's a Latin way of eating. But I enjoyed very much in the morning eating and looking at the families. The grandmother was there, sometimes even in a wheelchair. And the parents and the children. And they didn't just eat and leave. They sat there for almost 2 hours, just talking, drinking more coffee, everybody. I just thought, you know, that really is what life is all about. Mm-hmm. And it's just so wonderful to see that some people have the luxury of doing that, and they do live that way. So the point is the setting is perfect for it. This hotel is so wonderful. With all of that going on downstairs, they've got a fabulous rooftop pool. The pool is a saltwater pool the view from the pool is spectacular. You see Boca Grande, you see the Caribbean Sea, you can see the old city in the background. Then when the lights come on at night, I mean, Cartagena is beautiful at night as it is during the day, and it's spectacularly beautiful in the day. But the way they light the city up, it just almost looks like some kind of, I don't want to say Disneyland because that's so plastic, but it's just so beautiful, you can't believe your eyes. And they see this every day. They live in a place like this. So it's got this great pool, and they serve you. It has a little restaurant and a bar, as well as a very good full-service spa. But the best part, the highlight of my accommodations, was what I did every night. Every night before I went to bed for about an hour and a half or 2 hours, they have a restaurant and a bar that they set up after about 5:30 with very nice tables and some canopies and couches and everything. And they have a live salsa bossa nova band. And you can sit out there and eat or have drinks. You're watching all the street life in front of you, the carriages clopping by, the people selling things, the beautiful lights that are surrounding you, as well as the stars in the sky, Caribbean breezes flowing off the Caribbean Sea. I mean, you just feel like you really are in some kind of heaven on earth. I mean, listen to that music, having a pina colada in this atmosphere. I thought, I'm just going to sit here till they kick me out every night. And I'm a solo traveler. And that just tells you everything. That is what I call a memorable or a highlight experience, and especially at a hotel. So it really kind of reminded me of the old days of travel. When you went to a nice hotel, I mean, it was really nice. From the service to the interiors to the food that you ate. I mean, it was like an escape. You went somewhere that was just much nicer than, say, your home or where you'd been in your city. That's the feeling that you get at this hotel, but it's not stuffy. So that was a highlight, the Charleston Santa Teresa Hotel. Next, the food. Oh, my God. The food. Well, Cartagena is considered the culinary capital of Colombia. And I mean, it has fabulous food. Kind of what I shared just a second ago, the Spanish influence in this area or any countries that have a lot of Spanish history to them, food is so important. It's part of a well-lived life. If you don't sit down and eat with each other and eat quality food and enjoy your food and celebrate the day or whatever, you're not living a good life. So food is very important. They don't like bad food, kind of like in Louisiana. Bad food does not survive in Louisiana. So I'll have to say I really never had a bad food experience in Cartagena. And I targeted certain restaurants that I wanted to go to. And then other times when I ate, I wanted to just kind of wing it because sometimes I have found fabulous places to eat there. I can kind of just tell the vibe looking in if it's good or whatever. I forgot the place where I went to in Cartagena that happened. I was kind of having the dropsies around 3 o'clock in the afternoon. I really didn't want to eat anything. So I decided to maybe go in and get some coffee at like a little coffee shop. They call them like patisseries or something. And I saw one and I looked in and there were all these, what I considered, I thought they were upscale, the clientele, and it was just a nice place. So I went in and looked at all the things, the sweets or the desserts that you could pick from. And I was a little scared. I picked this small coconut pie. Nobody speaks English. That's the only bad thing about Cartagena. There's not very many people who speak English. So when you go in these places and you try to get somebody to say, unless somebody hears you that speaks English, that can interpret and help you, which that happens a lot, the service personnel do not speak English, okay? So somebody heard me and they said, oh, no, you get the coconut pie. Don't worry about it. Everything in Cartagena that has coconut in it is fabulous. So I went with that, and that was drop dead fabulous. I mean, this pie, and I'm not a pie person, it had some kind of butter in it and lots of rough coconut and not too much flour or filler. They might have a little pudding in it, just a little. It doesn't get any better than that. I ate every morsel of it. And I usually don't eat all of a dessert, maybe half of it. I'm not that into sweets, but this wasn't that sweet. It was just sweet enough. Oh, God. So, I'm sorry, I don't remember the name of that place.
I wish everybody could see your face right now.
Oh, because it was something. It was so good. But that just kind of gives you what I'm talking about.
Heaven-sent coconut.
Okay. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. So, now getting to the specific restaurants that I remember the names. Yeah. So, the first one is and I'm going to probably say this wrong, La Cevicheria. And this is really probably the most famous restaurant in Cartagena because it was Anthony Bourdain's favorite restaurant in Colombia. Wow. He said, this is where they have the best ceviche in the world. And he said that he would get on a plane any day. If somebody said, I want to get some good ceviche, he said, we're headed to Cartagena and we're going to La Cevicheria. So, of course, I had to go there. And I like ceviche. And for the listeners who don't know what ceviche is, probably most everybody does, but it's raw fish or seafood that they marinate in lime juice, and they put herbs and other mystery flavorings in it. And it's kind of like fine wine, fine cheese, fine chocolate. If it's done really right, oh, you don't even think that it hasn't been, you know, boiled or grilled or whatever. And my favorite was the lobster ceviche. Mm. Oh, cool. It was not as good as that coconut pie, but it was almost. But every other little samplings that I had tasted were fabulous, too. So it is everything and more that you hear about the reputation of this place. With that said, it's very small. It's always packed. And there are no reservations taken. So you have to wait at least 45 minutes and usually about an hour before you can get in. But I'll give you a travel tip. Of course, I was going to wait the hour because I wanted to go eat there. And most people do feel that way unless they are just so hungry they're going to faint or they don't have any patience. They don't want to wait for anything, okay? But my travel tip is go across the street to the El Coro Lounge and Bar. This is part of the Four Seasons Hotel, or maybe not the Four Seasons. I might be wrong, but they have this very handsome Colombian doorman at the front to even let you in the lounge. And he's dressed beautifully in white with a top hat and everything. Oh, yeah. I mean, this place is sassy, this lounge. So go have a drink there. They have wonderful music there. There's a big fireplace and bookcases and fans. And I mean, this place, you could spend the whole day in this bar because it doesn't feel like a bar. It just feels like your rich uncle's huge den that he's got the service help that works for him, that they'll give you anything you want. And it's got a vibe there that's really, again, very relaxed, but cosmopolitan in a nice way. So go in there, have a cocktail or a good glass of wine, because everything they serve there is really good. It's definitely upscale. But the maitre d' from La Cevicheria will come there and tell you when your table's ready. So you don't have to worry about losing your place in line. Because, wow. I mean, I guess half the people do that. They go to El Coro. So remember that. If you decide to go eat there, you're going to wait, which you will, go over to El Coro. You will enjoy that pre-dinner, pre-ceviche experience. It's very nice. I mean, I'm so glad I got to go in there because I wouldn't have gone in there. Yeah. It wasn't on my to-do list. Okay, so second place to eat. I had dinner at Carmen. Now, Carmen is another fine dining establishment that has two Le Cordon Bleu trained chefs. And what they do is they specialize in dishes made from traditional Colombian ingredients like yuca, plantain, seafood, all different kinds of fruits, and coconut is in it. But their preparation techniques or styles are Asian, European, Caribbean, and they fuse these all together. And they create these dishes that almost have a story to them. One of my dishes was something on the beach. And I can't even tell you what I was eating, but it was some kind of seafood. And then it was laid on this, it wasn't actually cracked wheat, or it was something like that was supposed to be the pebbles on the beach. It was like a fantasy, everything that I was eating. And get one of their craft cocktails. They are very famous for their craft cocktails. So, to give you a real good review or recommendation, it was the Real Housewives of New York City's favorite restaurant. So let me tell you, the food is good. So I loved Carmen because it's Colombian with a real kind of modern high-class food. So it's worth the money and it's not that expensive. And the experience is just great. So totally different from La Cevicheria, which is, you know, real casual, crowded. You could hardly breathe in there. And it's not that bad, but it's pretty crowded. Then the last highlight in terms of food in a restaurant was at the restaurant by the name of La Vitrola. And really, this is the hardest place to get a reservation in Cartagena. If you don't make your reservation a month before you're traveling there, at least, you're going to have to get your concierge to really pull some strings. Well, I was lucky again, and I got to go there. Well, I love this place. For starters, you walk in there, and I've never been to Cuba, but you think you're in Cuba. And it does have like a 1950s Havana setting, like you're in a big mansion with all these rooms, and in each room is a separate dining area. But then there's Cuban music going all around, live Cuban music. You walk in that place, if you are the least bit homesick or something's bugging you, you will not be bugged within 5 to 10 minutes. All your cares will be gone because this place has such a really nice feel. But it is, I have to warn you, it is upscale. Like for guys, you got to have a dinner jacket, no open-toed shoes. So it's kind of a throwback to prior times, but it's so worth it. And the food is really pretty simple. The menu, seafood, steak, and pasta. And all I can say is it definitely was my favorite restaurant in Cartagena because I felt like the mood, the decor, and the food, it was just perfect. Everything was perfect. That night was perfect. And you remember things like that. That was another place. I could have stayed there till they turned the lights off. So those are my three suggestions for restaurants. Now, just a little bit more on the food. The street vendors in Cartagena. You've got your regular street vendors with their little cooking appliances and everything. And then you have the palenqueras or whatever, these goodwill ambassadors, as they're called. But these are the ladies that you see in the advertising photographs for Cartagena that are walking down the street with these very colorful, flouncy, big skirts and, you know, ruffle-like blouses with red and blue and yellow, which is the color of the Colombian flag. And they have fruit on their head, and they sell the fruit that they are walking around town with. They're fruit sellers, basically. So this has been going on since the beginning of Cartagena, once the African-American people came to this part of the world. They were all fruit sellers. Well, these ladies have the best fruit in town. You buy fruit from the palenqueras, It's going to be fabulous. And of course, they sell papaya, coconut, bananas, and all these kinds of weird other fruits that I don't even know what they were. So if you want to buy good fruit, just buy it right off the street from one of those palenqueras. Oh, yeah. And they're so sweet. They all want to take pictures of you. And if you take a picture with them, you got to pay it. But it's like a dollar. I mean, it's nothing. It's really a donation. So you can give them whatever you want. But don't miss getting some of the fruit. Then some of the vendors actually sell the fruit and they'll put a little spices on them or something. And some of the vendors sell the coconut in the coconut and they just pop off the top. And you see that around the squares, etc. A couple of the traditional Cartagena food or meals are, they love to eat baked or grilled red snapper, coconut rice, and fried plantains. That's like their rice and gravy and smothered green beans or fried chicken, mashed potatoes.
Staple.
That's kind of like that. Also, empanadas. Oh, these were great. Street vendors have sold some of the best ones, but they're corn meal pockets, basically, that could be filled with egg, chicken, vegetable, cheese, anything, really. And then they deep fry them. I don't know if it's the corn, the way that tastes here, or it's the oil they use, or what it is that they put in the batter, but those were kind of addictive. I mean, they were really good. Drinks, I already told you about the limonada de coconut. And it's not lemon, but it's actually lime juice with coconut water or coconut milk. You want it with the milk if you really want it good. The coconut water is good, but it's not as good as with coconut milk. Then kind of a cousin to the limonada de coco is the piña colada, because that's a coconut base, as we great piña coladas. I mean, I sat out in front of that hotel and I had maybe more than two, because they were so good. You could, and then at my hotel, the room was right there, so I knew it was all good. I wasn't going to get harassed or be harassed. And then mojitos. Mojitos are really big in Cartagena. I guess it goes with the Caribbean. Coffee. Colombian coffee. Oh, yeah. My God.
Now we're talking.
Oh, yeah. Juan Valdez. In fact, they gave me a packet of coffee when I left the hotel as a goodwill or a thank you for staying. Oh, that coffee is just fabulous. And then also, I should have thought about it, they have great hot chocolate there, and chocolate because of the cocoa plant. And not the bad cocoa, but the good cocoa. So great chocolate things. Chocolate candy, hot chocolate. I mean, I had a couple of cups of hot chocolate, even though it was hot there, because it was just like velvet. It was fabulous.
Was there any coconut chocolate items?
I didn't go that exotic. I didn't look. They might have. They might have. I didn't go that far.
My own fantasies are coming in here. Yeah.
Oh, boy. Let's really get it. Let's get it so fabulous we just might lose our mind. Okay. So now let's move on to shopping.
Speaking of losing our mind.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. And let me tell you, anybody who loves to shop, Cartagena is a great destination for this sport. And I have confessed many times on air in my podcast that I'm a self-confessed shopaholic. And I have to say that my shopping experience in this city every day was nothing but fun, fun, fun. And I didn't blow a whole lot of money. Now, when you can go somewhere and you're just on vacation, you're not there to really shop for something great that you want, or you're prepared to spend some serious money. Say you're going to Paris and you want to buy some really fine things that just are very expensive. Well, it doesn't happen here. Now, there are some very upscale boutiques, but for the most part, everything is so affordable. So that in itself, you can't believe. I mean, I was buying dresses for $10 and they're cute. They're not anything I wouldn't wear here. And a lot of it has to do with the exchange rate of the dollar. It's so strong against the peso now. But okay, let's talk shopping. in Cartagena. And what's unique there and really what's wonderful to buy. Okay, here's my list. First is what's called a mochilas. And I wonder how many people listening know what mochilas is. It's basically a natural fiber hand-woven bag. And in Cartagena, they have a certain shape of this bag. It's kind of like a bucket. Well, I guess you would call it a bucket bag. It has a round bottom and then the sides, and it goes up kind of not as deep as a bucket, but almost. And most of them are shoulder straps, but it's all hand-woven, like it's hand-crocheted. And it's not crocheted with an open weave. It's a tight weave with natural fibers. And you got to be careful. There's the best and the most coveted bags of these mochilas are made by the artisans from what's called the La Guajara. It's G-U-A-J-R-A. La Guajara area. It's a native Indian.
Guajara.
I'm sorry. I'm so bad. Oh, God. I speak German. Ich spreche Deutsch. Spanish and all those other romance languages. I feel sorry for y'all when you are listening. Just know that I'm kind of. I'm doing it by phonetics, but English phonetics. It is just all wrong. Okay. But these wonderful bags made by the Guajara region, they come with tags of authenticity. So when you want the finer bags, you have to have the tag, okay? Now, they're sold in every color of the rainbow, and they'll be solid colors or colors with geometric patterns, kind of ethnic looking, but very beautiful. And when I say color, I mean, I've never seen so many different colors of purses, especially bright colors, and they're everywhere. The street vendors, the people in the square, the markets, the boutiques, the high-end boutiques, the hotels, everywhere are selling these mochilas. So you see them everywhere. And really, there's no two alike, except maybe if you get a black one or a red one. But I'm serious. And that's one of the things so fun about it, because you know these are handmade and they're unique. The best places to buy them if you want to get the fine ones are in the specialty stores, or they actually also have government-owned stores called the Artesanas de Colombia, and they sell really all the fine handmade, handcrafted things in Colombia. And I can tell you, if you want to buy anything really fine that's handmade, go to the Artesanas de Colombia, because you know you are buying the real thing and you'll have something very high quality. Now, I said you see them everywhere, the street vendors, the markets. When you buy them from the street vendors and the markets, they probably are going to be a knockoff. Not all the time, but they probably are. And I have to caution you, even if you think you don't like those bags, by the time you leave Cartagena, I bet 9 out of 10 women, they buy one. You can't help it. They just grow on you. In fact, I love them so much. I didn't really like them that much at first because I'm not into like crochet. But this is kind of like a real tight crochet. You don't see any air through it or anything. I ended up buying 3 of them. I bought a black one, which I basically used every day, and slung it across my body. It was wonderful because they're big enough to carry quite a bit, but they're not too big to be bulky and you feel like you're carrying around a mini suitcase or whatever. And one of the details about them is they had these pom-poms on them. The top is closed like a drawstring with 2 pom-poms. Oh, yeah. And then they might have a little pom-pom, bigger pom-pom or little ones, where the strap and the purse all come together to give it a little break. And they do some different things with the designs using the pom-poms, but most all of them have the pom-poms on it. That's what kind of makes it flirtatious and feminine. It gives it some pizzazz from just this bucket-looking bag. So I bought a black one with the shoulder strap. Then I bought a little petite one, and it actually has 2 handles. And around the side of the bucket is all this kind of smoky rhinestones. Oh, this bag. And then it has the little Thai pom-poms. I mean, this is sassy enough to go to dinner in Paris. It's ethnic, but it's just very she-she. And then I bought another one. I couldn't help it. This one was brown. And I don't really usually buy brown that much. But this one was brown. And it had a Virgin of Guadalupe painted on it. And then it was accented with some rhinestones in key places. Very one of a kind. And when I first saw it, I was really drawn to it. And I'm not one of these people that are that drawn to things that have some type of religious semi-motif to them or whatever. If you've listened to my other podcast, I've been to Mexico quite a bit. And the Virgin of Guadalupe is so important in this area of the world. They just have so much reverence for their love and worship of her and what they feel like she represents and means to their life, their family, etc. So all the women want to be as wonderful as she was in their inner life, etc. I really get it. I get what she means to those people and how it gives them more strength and what reverence they have for her. So when I saw this beautifully painted Matilda's, I thought, I have to take it home. I mean, she's just so beautiful on this purse. And also a little bit right now, religious kind of symbols in fashion are very fashionable. Christian Dior and Karl Lagerfeld and them, especially Dolce and Gabbana, have really done a lot of things. All kinds of crowns and different looking hats like the Pope and all kinds of different things. So I thought, well, this is my way of being au courant. But I really did love this bag. And it was funny because this is not really my style, but it just hit me just right. Because I think it is quite beautiful, artistic, one of a kind, and stylish to boot. So those Matilda's, I just warn you, even if you don't want to buy one,
I'm coming home with one.
I doubt you don't come home with them because they're everywhere. They are like everywhere. It's amazing. Okay. Then the next item of hats. Well, Colombia is a hat place, just like most any Latin American country, especially in the Caribbean because of the sun. They love hats. Now, there's a special kind of hat that the Colombians wear called a Viela Tia. It's V-U-E-L-T-I-A-O. But you'll know it when you see it if you go there. They're black and kind of off-white beige straw hand-weaved hats that kind of have a wide brim and they're round. They look a little bit like a Spanish riding hat, but no two are alike. They're all hand-woven. Now, you can buy a knockoff off the street, but the really nice ones, and that is very classy to wear. The Colombians love to dress in all white, whether they're males or females, and maybe with some colored shoes or darker shoes, and then wear those black and kind of tan hats. Oh, with their olive skin, their darker hair. They look so refined. And these hats are wonderful. So be prepared to see them. Try one on if you like it. You'll have something that you will really like, and you probably will wear it other places when you travel. It's one of those hats that is distinctive, but it's not like you couldn't wear it anywhere else. It's classic enough. That's what I'm trying to say, but it's different. So that's one thing. Then the Panama hats. Oh, my God. They love Panama hats there. From the traditional Panama hats or colored Panama hats, they even take the traditional off-white kind of cream color with the black grosgrain band on the hat, and they paint on them. I bought two of these hats that were painted. One for my husband that had the Cohiba little girl with the ponytail and the Cohiba yellow and black and white motif in there. Well, Cohiba's this famous cigar brand from Havana. And I have to say, if you get a real Cohiba, it is about as good as a cigar could be. I saw this hat that this vendor was selling, had Cohiba hand-painted on it. Beautiful. I thought, this is going home with me. It was only like $35, and I thought, what a great souvenir for my husband. He'd probably wear it one time, you know, to show off in front of the family, whatever. But it's just so unusual. I told you I was a shopaholic. I just loved it. I loved it. Nobody's going to appreciate it like I did. Then for myself, I bought one that had the base or the off-white kind of beigey straw with the black grosgrain band. And then on the bucket part of the hat, or where your head sticks in, around it was beautifully painted background of kind of a sea blue in pineapples. But this hat was just so appealing to me with the colors and the pineapples. I thought, you know, this is just a friendly, happy hat. And I hate to say it, this one I actually bargained the guy down. I think I got it for like $22 or something like that. I mean, hand-painted. I almost felt bad doing it because I shouldn't have probably done that. Now that I think about it, I feel bad. I mean, you know, because these people, they make, I think the lady told me $300 a month or something. I mean, it might be $300 a week. But I thought it was $300 a month, something appalling. And most everybody, that's basically what they make. Okay, another thing, and I have to tell you, beware, emeralds. Colombia itself produces supposedly 70 to 90% of all the world's emeralds, and they come from the mines around Bogota. So Cartagena is a great place to buy an emerald. And if you read anything about Cartagena, you're going to be reading about the emeralds there and blah, 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 how wonderful they are. Well, there are so many high quality, or most of the high quality emerald stores are in one area close to the Plaza de Bolivar, and it's in the Centro Historica. But that is the area where you want to concentrate if you want to buy a real good one. Now, know that they expect you to bargain, and they typically will come off about like 30% of what they quote you. And you might get a little bit more depending on how much they've sold and everything, but you can expect to spend $50 to $10,000 a carat. Now, that's depending on the quality, and the quality deals with the color, the purity, the brightness, the darker the green, and the clearer, obviously, but not too clear. If it doesn't have anything in it, they suspect it's fake. That depends on how much the carat weight costs per carat. So you want to make sure you buy from a reputable dealer, because there are so many stores in Cartagena that sell emeralds. I mean, there are a lot. You just can't believe it once you get there. But once you get out of the Centro Historica area, beware of fakes. And don't ever buy one at a market. You really have to buy the emerald from somebody that is reputable. Mm. Otherwise, you really don't know. And I have to say, I told myself before I was going there, I don't need an emerald because I have an emerald ring. I don't need an emerald. Astrid, do not buy anything like that. You don't need it. I'm going to be disappointed in you if you do. I mean, I had a self-talk. Well, I couldn't help it. I went into this one store called the Emerald Center. Beautiful merchandise. And I went in there and I started talking to the owner, and I looked at her. I said, you don't look like you're Colombian. You don't look like you're from here. And she said, no. I said, no, you actually kind of look like you could be related to me. And she said, well, I'll tell you this. My father immigrated from Poland or whatever, and he's had this jewelry store ever since. And I said, well, that's probably what it is, because on my mother's side, that part of my family, they weren't actually Polish, but they were Prussian, and that part became Poland. I said, but I knew you had some kind of affinity. Well, it's so funny that a lot of times when you have something that's common in you and another person. You like other things about that other person. It just kind of goes hand in hand, even if you've never met each other. Well, I loved her merchandise. I thought it was much better than even the finer. And hers is one of the top stores, but there were others that had more of them. But the other stores I found to be almost predictable in a lot of what you saw. Her things were not. Well, I bought this gorgeous, gorgeous light emerald ring because I didn't want anything really fine. But it was mint green. This is the color of these emeralds. A big stone in the middle, oval shaped. Whole ring was oval shaped and silver. Then little mint green emeralds around and just accent other stones. This ring, it's a showstopper. And she gave me such a good price on it. After two, I knew I could do VAT. I couldn't say no because I thought, I probably will not ever come back to Cartagena again unless I have another bad luck that turns good. But I love this ring, and I love Cartagena, and I will always love wearing the ring and remembering every single thing about how special this place was. So I just decided, go for it, Astrid, and this is my problem. But I loved her. I loved everything, and it's beautiful. It's a very beautiful ring. So two other great stores to buy emeralds are the Carib Emerald Museum and Factory and the Joy El Ria Carib Museum and Factory. They're two really probably the best stores. One of them is right next to the Emerald Museum, and the Emerald Museum is quite interesting because it gives you a lot of good facts about everything. And if you want to buy an emerald, you should go into the Emerald Museum. I mean, you should really know what you're getting ready to buy so you'll have a better appreciation for it. But like the purses, there's so many emerald stores in the city. If you allow yourself to go in one, you probably will come out with some type of emerald jewelry. I'm just warning you, beware and hold on to your credit card because it's another one of those things that it just has this pull or this haunting thing like, of course you want this. Of course you want this. You have to have this. But it's a lot of fun and it's a great place if you do want to buy an emerald. I mean, because Colombia is the place to do it. Okay, a couple of other places where to get things. There's a shopping, well, it's kind of like a big craft market, but it's called Las Bovedas. It's a very long building on a square with lots of arches, beautiful stucco building that's painted kind of a medium color yellow. And they have probably about 40 or more stores and bays in this particular building because the building originally was a munitions warehouse. And then after it was that, it was a prison. I mean, this is a solid building. Well, now the government has taken it and turned it into this big craft market. So it is so much fun. This is the ideal place to get your souvenirs because really everything is pretty inexpensive there. You'll find linen clothes, embroidered items, straw, and beaded jewelry, everything handwoven. One of the things they really specialize in are handwoven hammocks. Some of those beautiful hammocks, I thought, oh, this is just stunning how gorgeous these hammocks are. Then a lot of brightly colored paintings, artwork, and even home accessories. Like they had these beautiful bowls and these Lazy Susan kind of plates that I could see it on your table, this beautiful hand-painted and then over that shellacked theme. And it's beautiful. It set everything in the room off, maybe the whole house. Just very unique and beautiful in a Cartagena way. Then, of course, lots of purses there. And your backpacks and even hand-woven shoes. They can hand-weave anything. It's amazing. So plan to spend, if you go there, about a half a day, but I guarantee you it is a lot of fun. You'll probably pick up every souvenir you want to pick up, and some other things, and is not hard on your pocketbook at all, okay? So that is one place I recommend going because, you know, everybody probably buys an inexpensive souvenir or two that they want to like, or they might want to give to somebody else that is just a nice token of friendship. Okay, next door is the Casa Chiqui. It's C-H-I-Q-U-I. Now, this is a store that Vogue has said is Cartagena's most dazzling store. And let me tell you, this store is to die for inside. It's located in the old town, and it's really in a former 1930s warehouse. The warehouse probably was filled with gold treasures a long time ago. But now they have furniture, clothing, accessories from all over Colombia as well as all over the world. And really, this store boutique is very upscale and really what I consider highbrow. The lady who owns it lives in Cartagena and London, both places during the year. So this is really a fabulous store. Then the next store I recommend, if ladies, you want to buy something really fine, like a designer piece of clothing, go to Silvia Cherassi, T-C-H-E-R-A-S-S-I. This boutique is by Colombia's number one fashion designer. And in Cartagena itself, and I didn't realize this till I went there, but it's a very fashionable city. In fact, it is supposedly, somebody said it was the it city for fashion in Colombia. And Silvia Cherassi is the it designer. So if you want to get the best of what is designed in Colombia, go to Silvia Cherassi's store. It's gorgeous in there. And they describe her clothes as old-fashioned Caribbean glamour. These clothes are really very high fashion. When I went in her store, I thought, you know, you could go anywhere in the world. You could go to some very exotic gala night in Shanghai and look stunning in this dress because they're like works of art. Or you might go somewhere, a cocktail party in Italy or Paris or anywhere or Buenos Aires. Her clothes are so well designed. I mean, they're just a joy to see, even if you don't buy anything. So that's the it place for the it designer. Then I mentioned this shopping before, the Artesanías de Colombia. That's the government-owned stores that specialize in high-quality handicrafts. They have several locations in Cartagena, but this is where you buy the best handicrafts. So if you want to buy something really good, that is ethnic and indigenous from this area, just go to those stores and you'll see the best of the best there. Okay. And then last, any area around that Plaza Boulevard, it's got lots of great little specialty boutiques. And really, it's fun stuff at reasonable prices. And you'll see, once you stay there a couple of days, you'll get a feel for the good boutiques and then the ones that are struggling and ones that have stuff in there that their knockoffs are kind of fakey, and then the ones that are real good. So Cartagena is just a shopper's paradise. You know, it's fun things, unique things, and very affordable prices. That's what made me so happy. You're just amazed what $35 can buy. That's one of the reasons why it's a great tourist destination or a place people like to go to, because they don't feel like they have to spend just lots of money to buy things or enjoy themselves. I'll finish this extra long answer to your Cartagena highlights question with a little more information about the city's unique and vibrant culture, because that's very important. And that throws back a little bit into the history, etc. Cartagena has some really interesting museums. I mentioned the Carib Emerald Museum. Whether you buy an emerald or not, take about 45 minutes, maybe an hour to go through it. It has a lot of interesting and very informative information. It's really everything you need to know about Colombian emeralds from the mining process all the way to the cutting. And there are things that you pick up by going through this that make you appreciate the emeralds more for sure, as well as it all makes more sense to you when you go a little bit more in depth. Then they have the Gold Museum. Now, gold was one of the reasons why the Spaniards came there. And this is a real interesting museum. It's housed in one of the older Colombian mansions. But you learn all about the pre-Columbian area in this particular region, especially the indigenous Zuni culture. You'll see their early history when they almost looked caveman-like, really, how they lived. You'll see some of the artifacts, bone and shell objects, their primitive ceramics. And then in this museum, they have over 500 pieces of old gold objects, especially like jewelry. And what you do, you'll go through all this, and then you sit and you watch a short film, and they show you how they mine the gold, that it comes out of the dirt, and how they're not looking really for chunks, if they find chunks, but how they get it out of the dirt, and they beat everything, and then they finally make it into kind of like a patty or whatever, and then how they melt it and smelt it and beat it and make it into these objects. You would never think a bunch of dirt, they would end up getting this gold out of it and then putting it together in enough mass to make a sheet of it, and then to be able to take it and melt it and form it into earrings and necklaces and cups. And I didn't know that's actually how gold came. I thought kind of it was like the emeralds. You just cut into the rock and you found a few little chunks and there you go. No, it's not actually like that. Well, it's not like that in this part of the world. And to think that these people, where did they get the idea to do that? They couldn't see these things in the dirt. I guess I don't know enough about early man and everything, but I can tell you I was flabbergasted. Okay, another museum that I thought was very good, even though I can't say I enjoyed going through it, was the Inquisition Museum at the Palace of the Inquisition. Whew. Now, this was quite disturbing and eye-opening because they go through this very dark period for the Catholic Church, and they really give you a lot of information about how so many people were falsely accused of being a witch or practicing in witchcraft. And there were over at least 800 people that they just said were heretics that probably didn't do anything. They might have looked funny or were extra strong or something that made people think, oh, they're not quite controllable or whatever. But in this museum, you see the guillotine, which is outside, and then also this hanging platform in the square, and you can just feel it. That place just had a real, but like I said, it was very, very informative. They also have films that they show you, or they do depictions of how these people were falsely accused and kind of trapped and just some real bad stuff, as well as even some of the horrible face and neck torture equipment. Oh, it was awful. They had this thing that they put under your soft part of your chin and ram it up. Oh, it was just awful. And these spiked collars, like you see those bad dog collars, but these were really bad. Oh, it was awful. But it did give me a better understanding of how cruel the church could be and the powers that be and this fear that they exerted over the people that they wanted to even target or what they wanted to suppress. So this is the dark side of that. And it was very prevalent in Cartagena, but they contained it. But they weren't going to put up with any kind of anything that would get them off of the track of what they were doing in terms of building an empire on this side of the world. The last museum, and this will take you more than 45 minutes, probably only half an hour, is the Modern Museum of Art, which is quite nice. It's not very big, but I did really enjoy it. Most of the work is by Enrique Grau, which is one of their most famous early modern artists. And you'll see his sculpture, paintings, etchings, writings, everything. And he was the real thing. He was the real thing. So it's nice to see that they are also developing this whole type of artistic genre here in Colombia, in this part of Colombia. So, couple more last must-dos that were highlights of my trip, because those were the few cultural things that a lot of people don't like to do museums. Every time you go in one, and you're thinking, oh, God, this was like when I was in junior high school. I didn't like it then, and I really don't like it now. Go in there and just chill out, take a deep breath, and begin to try to connect with what you're seeing. By the time you get out of the museum and you think about what you saw and learned when you're eating that night or whatever, it's part of your travels and making your travels really good. I can say one thing, going to some museums all through my travels, everywhere I've gone, have helped me so much understand the evolution of a place or what really makes a difference in the place from the very beginning to now. It's amazing how to go into something that depicts it in some way or the other rather than spoken or read, and then how that filters into what you're doing and experiencing, it makes it much richer. So even if you don't like it, force yourself to do one, maybe two, whenever you travel. That's just a word of wisdom from me. And you might not like it. If you don't, well, don't do it. But I hope you do. Okay. So alas, the must-dos that I have to say for this trip, because they were really good, is walk on the city wall all the way around the old city. It's beautiful. It's wide enough to walk. It's kind of tall, but it's wide enough so you're not going to feel like you're going to fall off. And there's stairs ever so often, but it's beautiful. I mean, you see the Caribbean Sea, you see Boca Grande, you see the old city, the fort, the castle. You see it all when you walk around, and it's beautiful day or night. It's never not fun to do. So if you want to get your exercise that way, just walk around the walls. In fact, I met a real interesting young gentleman who was taking photographs, and I was trying to find the Le Bois Bovidas when I was walking on it. So we talked a little bit, and I said, well, what in the world are you doing here? He's a young guy with a camera, and he said, well, I work for Burger King. I do site finding sites all over the world. And he said, my territory really is South America. So he was there, but one of the things he loved about Cartagena is walking on the walls, taking photographs, and that kind of thing. So that's a fun thing to do. Really, the best time, I have to say that, is the sunset. I took some out of sight sunset photos and videos from the wall, and they look fabulous. No filter, no cropping, no nothing. So that's a highlight. Do that. Next is take the carriage ride. A little touristy, but that clopping through the old town on those carriages, and they're all dressed up and they're clopping. It's a fun 45 minutes to an hour. They tell you it's a tour, but if you don't speak Spanish, they don't speak English, so you don't know what they're saying. So it's really just riding through the city. And they don't really start getting going till about 3:30 or 4. Because one thing about Cartagena that I have to warn you about, it is hot there. It's close to the equator, and it's humid. The humidity must be 90 to 100 at all times. Oh, so it's really hot, and they don't bring the horses out until around 3 because they won't be able to stand it. They clop around till like 11:30 at night. And Cartagena is beautiful at night. It's lit up so fabulous. like I said, it's like a Disneyland, but it's not corny and made up. It's the real thing, and they live like that. Okay, then the next thing, which is also kind of touristy, but I think you should do it, is have a cocktail at this bar called Cafe Del Mar. It really is the most famous bar. It's an old bar. It's right on the wall. It's facing the Caribbean Sea. And it's beautiful to get there right before sunset, watch the sun go down, then watch the moon come up and this beautiful starry night and the moon shining off of the Caribbean Sea. They have a live DJ, and so the music is nice and flowing and salsa, bossa nova, a little rock. The mojitos there are fantastic. And everybody's in a great mood. So to go sit up there and have a drink, or if you're non-alcoholic, it doesn't matter, before sunset is one of the top things to do for sure in Cartagena. A little touristy, but you should do it. So highly recommend it. That's it. That's it for the highlights, if you can believe it. I mean, I probably could go on and on, but the things that I've talked about really kind of encapsulates some of the best of Cartagena.
Okay, that was all the highlights. I know, unfortunately, you had a definite lowlight. I'm really scared to say it. I'm going to say it. Boat trip.
I know, you tried to be dramatic. You could never be as dramatic as it was. Nothing could describe what I'm getting ready to describe. I can say that really in my 35 plus years of solo travel, I have never had a more frightening experience than the one that I experienced on this 4-hour supposed pleasure boat ride to the Rosario Islands. It really, before I had gone to Cartagena and I'd done my pre-trip research, I read about these beautiful islands. They're like some kind of South Sea island paradise, etc. Crystal clear waters and great vegetation and just something that's very beautiful and lush. So they say they have these cruises that go out there and you can either spend the whole day out there and eat and go swimming and snorkeling and everything, or you can just basically take a panoramic cruise out there and go around and then go back. Well, on the last day of my 7-day stay in Cartagena, I had a couple of hours in the afternoon, and I thought, you know, it would be nice to just get in a boat and travel out a couple of hours to the Rosario Islands, let the wind blow through my hair, and just really relax and see this island paradise. I was going, oh, yeah, this will be a good end. And then tonight I'll go to La Vitrola and close this trip up. So I asked the concierge, I said, okay, could you book one of these cruises? He said, oh, all you have to do is just go right down there to the dock. The hotel was close to where the ships come in. And he said, there are people out there that have their boats and you can negotiate or whatever. So I go down there and there were a couple of vendors, and the big boats that typically go out there that are full of tourists, there was not any there on the dock. They said they had already gone, and there were a couple of small ones. And I said, look, I don't care. It's just me. And to tell you the truth, I don't want to go in a big boat full of tourists. If you and I can agree on a price, we can go in a smaller craft and we'll go out there. Because I imagined it just be, this breezy. And he said, okay. So we agreed on the price. He said, well, you can't catch the boat here. We have to go to Boca Grande. So we got in a cab. We went to Boca Grande, went to the shore where there were some other boats. And here comes my little boat, this little dinghy. And I thought, a dinghy? I mean, for what we just agreed on, but I thought, oh, I'm not going to make a big deal out of this. It's the end of the trip. It's no big deal to me. I just want to relax and go out to these islands, maybe take some pictures or whatever. So he got in the boat and we went out. We started to go out in the bay. Everything was fine. Water wasn't bad. You know, a little bit. I felt a little bit, but it was not bad at all. Then we get to the first kind of barrier island. And he said, well, we have to stop here and gas up. And I thought, you don't even have gas in this thing? But I didn't say anything. And he spoke English. And so they gassed up, and we went to this island. I mean, it was pretty rough. Chickens everywhere, and I don't think they had indoor plumbing and straw roofs. And I mean, it was pretty like not Gilligan's Island, but almost. So they gassed up. And then he looked at me, he was standing on the little pier, and he said, look, I'm not going with y'all. Here's your life jacket. Make sure you put it on and have a good time. Well, I thought, well, why ain't he going to come with me? But it didn't really bother me because I thought we were just going to cruise out there for an hour and then cruise back, and I'd go to my hotel and that would be done. So we started going out. Well, the seas got kind of choppy, really choppy. But it was bearable. The only thing, it was for 2 hours, I thought it was going to jar my backbone out. I mean, it was trying, I must say. I thought, this is not pleasurable. This is not what I envisioned. But it wasn't that scary. They were high enough to where it was really beating that boat up. I thought, golly, this little thing, it's a rickety to begin with. So we finally got to the Rosario Islands. And they were beautiful, I must say. The water and everything they described, they were beautiful. But we didn't dock. I didn't want to dock. I just wanted the panoramic drive around them. And then we started back, and I thought, oh, God. I mean, we're going to have to go 2 hours with this wave crashing again. This is not fun, especially how much I paid for this. And I'm not going to tell you how much I did because, oh, furious now. But I didn't really have a choice. I mean, I had to get back to Cartagena. Well, within about 10 minutes, the seas went from very choppy to violent. And when I tell you violent, it was unbelievable. 5, 6, 7 foot plus waves, right one after the other. I mean, my boat was flying up, projectile, crashing down, rocking violently from side to side. We almost lost the canopy that really I was holding on for dear life. My feet were just bashed in to the front little part where there was another seat. It was just so horrifying. I mean, it was almost blown off and ripped off probably, I don't know, 6, 7 times. And this went on and on for an hour and a half. And I mean, when I tell you I was terrified, I was terrified. It was beyond belief. All I could think about is an ocean liner would be rocking and rolling in this thing. And I couldn't even communicate with this guy because my little driver, who was no more than 16, maybe 17 years old, he couldn't speak English because I would have told him, let's pull over to one of these side islands till the seas calm down. And if we have to spend the night here, I don't care. I'll sleep on the beach. It was so horrifying. I mean, it was just terrible. I can't even believe it. So to make things worse, like I said, this boat was so decrepit. It wasn't any pleasure cruiser. And all I could think about is we're going to capsize. Any moment, we're going to capsize. Is it from the next monster wave or whatever? And thank God, I kept thinking in my mind, well, I was a junior Olympic swimmer when I was young. And I could see the Barrier Island on the right-hand side of me. It might have been 5 miles away, but I knew I could swim there. So I thought, well, if I don't get eaten up by some kind of shark or whatever, I'm not going to die. Really, I couldn't believe it. I really could not believe it. I thought, and maybe I would have drowned or whatever. We got under something, a wave so bad. On top of that, I get seasick. But miraculously, I didn't get seasick. I don't know why. I guess I was so wired up fighting this situation that I was too scared to get seasick. But bottom line, I made it back to the shore, to Boca Grande. And really, all I could think of is I had a guardian angel. It was one of those experiences when you know that it's so bad that in order for you to escape, God wanted you to. And that's the way I felt.
Well,
I did.
You really thought like you were going to die. I mean, we're laughing about it now.
Yeah.
But you really.
Oh,
yeah.
No. And that little driver back there, hey, let me tell you, he was scared too. Anybody would have been scared. So instead of this 4-hour pleasure cruise, I had just gone through really something that was completely beyond belief, harrowing. And I was soaked from head to toe, completely exhausted from fear. I mean, because my body, I had my adrenaline flowing. I had my feet propped up. My arms were hanging. I had to switch positions. It was jacking my back out, banging around. I mean, this went on for hours, not just 10 minutes. This was the Wild Mouse or the roller coaster rides at Six Flags and all those. But it is nothing like this in a boat. I'm not kidding you. It was that bad. I mean, it was not that high like a roller coaster. But the fear factor, oh, God, it was terrible. So the only way I can explain the whole affair is it was really the boat ride from hell. Bottom line, I really cannot describe it like it was. You only have to live through something like that to know it. So I get back in shock. So drag myself completely bedraggled and catch a cab because that guide who negotiated was nowhere to be found when I got to shore because he knew that the seas were going to be bad. I know he did. He would have gone with us. I figured this all out later. So then when I get back to the hotel and I clean up and I finally get myself back together, I posted this picture because I got the driver actually to take this picture of me in this state of, I don't know. I had really been through what I'd been through, and he captured a pretty good picture of the whole after effect. But I posted it on Facebook, and I got all these comments right away. What? You went to the Rosario Islands in an old dinghy? I can't believe it. You didn't watch the Real Housewives of New York when they went to Cartagena? They went on a cruise to the Rosario Islands, and they were in a big yacht. And what happened to them was they hit rough seas coming back in a yacht. It was so bad, the engine caught fire. And they were sinking and they were screaming. They knew they were going to die. Well, miraculously, some other boat comes to rescue them. But I thought, you know, that's amazing. I didn't know that. I didn't see that on anything that I read about. But that is true. They thought they were going to die. Supposedly, they made a series on this trip to Cartagena and this boat ride. So, another travel trip. Go on a Rosario Island cruise at your own risk. Also know, and I learned this later, that the seas usually get rough at around 3 p.m. Mm. So if you take the cruise, you want to be back in shore at around 2. That's why I didn't see any of the big boats. And they were all coming back while I was going out. Seriously. I'm not saying not go there, but you got to go there with your eyes wide open. And for sure, don't go in a little dinghy. If you've negotiated something with somebody, don't go on that. Even if you've given them your money, just say, look, I'd like my money back. And if they won't give it to you, just write it off as they were a thief. Because it's not worth it because you really might not make it back. I bet there are some people that have not made it back. I bet.
If you're thinking of packing your bags right now so that you can go to Cartagena on your own, if you want to know how to strategically set up your suitcase so you can bring home all those emeralds that you're going to find when you're down there, well, we have just the thing for you. Astrid has an amazing packing list. It's complimentary. All you have to do is go to her website, astridtravel.com. Right there on the homepage is a place that you can put in your email and get that packing list right away. Do the Real Housewives have a packing list? No, they do not.
Well, maybe they should.
No, that's your territory. What are you talking about? As Astrid mentioned, this podcast is available on Apple Podcasts, SoundCloud, Stitcher, Spotify. We love you on Spotify. We're getting a lot of traction on Spotify. Thank you so much for listening, everybody. Hasta luego. Goodbye. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to Solo Travel Talk. Follow Astrid on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. To learn more about Astrid or her solo travel advisors, visit her website, astridtravel.com.